This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, Shut Up and Dance. Still a good song.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I listened to so much good music on the way to and from Nelspruit this weekend.
A combined, what, 8-hour drive, then back?
But you know what I also listened to is some podcasts, and I play the audio from some YouTube videos. I think a lot of people do that. It's just expensive to stream. But it's so good. Like, just clever, interesting things, whether it's comedy or whether it's, you know, great debates about things. Some interesting stuff. Get your brain working. Okay, it's time, speaking of getting your brain working, for us to check in on what's been happening in the news. Mubs is here with the latest. What do you got for us?
Well, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, you can also just call them DIRCO, they have now come and tried to explain the reason for granting diplomatic immunity to the Zimbabwean First Lady. Of course, Grace Mugabe is safe and sound back at home in Zim after she left the country in the early hours of yesterday morning alongside her hubby, President Robert Mugabe. I saw a funny cartoon this morning of Grace wielding an extension cord, and she's basically cracking the whip on both Jay-Z and Robert, who are on their knees crawling, saying, "Don't worry, we will fix the situation."
Well, you know what's amazing is that, look, there's a lot that's amazing about this. She made a statement, some kind of public statement. I don't know if she even has Twitter. There was a direct quote from her saying, "I don't know what the fuss is about." When you are a dictator or a dictator's wife, you actually forget about rules. Like, she's lived this life for such a long time now that she doesn't have rules that she has to, you know, apply to herself. She does whatever she wants. And I'm sure that if you'd asked Nicolas Ceausescu's wife in Romania all those years ago, you know, "What do you think?" She would have said a similar thing. If you'd asked Imelda Marcos, you know, "What do you think of this?" She'd go, "It's not a big deal. Why these rules? I don't understand these rules." If you'd asked Napoleon in the 1800s, "What do you think of this?" "No, these rules don't apply to me." You'd ask Hitler, "What? What rules?" And then Grace Mugabe, "These rules are fine for the ordinary peasants, but why are you applying them to me? Don't you know who I am? I'm Grace Mugabe. I can attack someone with an extension cord if I want."
But Susan Bofa Walsh last week said something that really dropped the penny for me. And that was, he said, "This is why we have laws, so that no one is above them."
Right.
But this incident is a clear, blatant example that evidently there are some people that are above the law.
Well, we know who these people are. And then Maite Nkwanamashabane, this half-asleep minister, I mean, she's always asleep in parliament, she signed the document granting diplomatic immunity, or acknowledging that there was diplomatic immunity. But she signed 19th of August, and the letter is dated 20th of August. So how could she have signed a letter that didn't exist?
Well, isn't it they just get the signature first and then they actually
add the date in afterwards?
And then they actually put the things together. Just sign here. What for? Just sign here.
Yeah, and you can tell it didn't come from her. She doesn't make any of her own decisions. She's like a delinquent whose parent has to sign on their behalf. Because you know she was asked or told or instructed or commanded to put that letter out by the president. You know that.
Well, in a statement that she put out, she said the reason that Grace Mugabe was granted diplomatic immunity is for the need to maintain good intergovernmental relations with the SADC region. And, the derivative immunity of spouses of heads of state.
Listen, why are we being friendly? Why do we need good relations with Bob Mugabe and his wife? They need good relations with us. Most of their imports come through us. Most of their trading is done with this country. Zimbabwe needs us. We don't need them. How about we stand up for ourselves? I saw Botswana over the weekend, and this is a really interesting story. Botswana said to the Chinese, "We are not a colony of yours. Don't tell us we're not allowed to invite the Dalai Lama." This is little Botswana. When the Chinese told South Africa, 3 years ago that we couldn't have the Dalai Lama visit because it didn't really work for them. We bowed down and we were craven and we were on our knees going, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full. But little Botswana stands up for itself and says to China, F you. We're not going to let you tell us who we can and can't have in our country. Now, that's the way a real country operates, but not us. We're a bunch of pussies. China says jump and we say ha hi.
Don't you think it's probably because there's something at stake, like there's something to lose, which is why we keep agreeing to certain people, because
yes,
they're holding something over us as a country.
Well, I think they're holding something over our government in particular. Maybe money's changed hands. Maybe there's special deals that we don't know about that are not obvious to us. But for Botswana to stand up for itself and its citizens is the right way to behave. And all it does is make South Africa look like we are not a sovereign state. You know, we keep going on about African solutions to African problems and our sovereignty is sacrosanct and all of this stuff. But then when it comes to, you know, Zimbabwean wives of heads of state behaving badly here, we suddenly crumble those rules into a paste. We decide to apply it to wounds. When the Dalai Lama is trying to visit his friend Desmond Tutu, both of them Nobel Prize winners, he can't because we're busy sucking Chinese dick. Come on.
Now, the Democratic Alliance are not happy with the whole Grace Mugabe situation as far as DIRCO are concerned. So they have now said that they're going to be demanding a parliamentary inquiry into the government's decision to grant her diplomatic immunity. The DA's chief whip, John Steenhuisen, saying that government and the ministers in question have compromised the country's integrity. So...
yeah, and I just don't... You know, this whole thing with DIRCO is so upsetting because we're meant to be like a shining star. Do you remember when Obasanjo and Mbeki were in charge of the AU? Well, they turned the OAU into the AU. They founded this organization which was meant to put African interests at the forefront. These were two great men, and they kind of led this charge for Africa to take control of its own destiny and make things better and make things interesting. And you know, the Renaissance that Thabo Mbeki used to talk about. Well, now we've got a minister who, when she wakes up, just signs whatever she's told to sign. And we don't really have a foreign policy, as far as I can tell. Because we're friends with Iran and Syria.
Russia.
And we just kind of do whatever we're told by these other nations. Because we're in this BRICS group, but nobody seems to know why we're in there. And how much value we add. We're like the little partner at the BRICS table. So it's all very, very strange. We used to have a foreign policy. Non-aligned movement, all of that stuff. Now I don't know who makes these decisions. What is actually going on in the Department of International Relations on a daily basis? Why are we paying for all these people? Why do we even bother to have embassies in certain countries? Can you imagine what the cost is?
No, I can't imagine. My brain will explode.
Anyway, someone's got to reevaluate that whole thing once this particular executive falls to pieces, which it already is. Someone's got to take the whole thing and rebuild it from scratch. DIRCO, starting with DIRCO, so we can figure out who our real friends in the world are, the ones who trade with us the most. The ones who do things for us. The ones who send foreign aid here. The ones who help us build systems and infrastructure. Those are the countries we should be friends with. Not ideological friends. Like Cuba. What's Cuba ever done for us? Anyway. All right. I've got my own bugbear. You can tell this is something that bothers me and nobody else.
No,
maybe I should go sort out DIRCO. Huh?
Oh, if you want to sign up for that job.
Can you guys manage? You'll manage the show while I'm away?
Yeah.
Might be 4 or 5 years.
Good luck. We'll play the national anthem in your honor every day then.
Well, if I can fix it. Let's not count our chickens.
Try that.
All right, what else is going on?
Mduduzi Manana decided that handing in his resignation was the right thing to do over the weekend. So that's exactly what he's done. He has resigned as the Deputy Minister for Higher Education after admitting to assaulting two women at a four-ways nightclub. The ruling party, welcoming the decision for him to resign.
Right.
At the same time, Cope saying that while it welcomes Manana's decision to step down, his resignation is long overdue. The party believes that his resignation is not a show of genuine remorse, but rather stems from a growing wave of public pressure.
I don't know how anyone can ever say that to someone, that like you're not being sincere with your resignation or with your apology. You don't know someone's feelings. No, come on, Cope. Listen.
Wait, are you being serious here or are you being...
No, you don't know what his real feelings are. Like, maybe he's genuinely, like, come to terms with what he's done.
Yeah.
Maybe he's sitting there at home right now wailing like a banshee because he's realized how badly he screwed up.
Okay, I'd want to see that.
But you can't... Just you don't a get, tweeted apology. You don't get to go and see the guy bawling his eyes out. And you know that his political career is ruined. What else is he going to do now?
Well, the thing is, people were calling for him to resign since day one. Okay, now he's resigned. So what more do you want?
Do you want him to crawl across broken glass and, you know, beg forgiveness, kiss your feet? And I agree, he should have resigned. He probably should have done it right after the event happened.
Well, that's what Cope are saying. They're saying, yes, we welcome this decision, but it's long overdue.
But it's happened.
But it's happened.
Mm. So now what? So what must... to happen now?
We're still emotional.
Well, he's still out on 5,000 rand bail. So what must can happen actually is he must be charged for this crime.
And question, where does this money go? Where does the bail money go?
Bail money? No, that gets held and then gets given back to you if you don't abscond. So bail is just a way of keeping you around.
So it really doesn't matter whether it's 80,000 rands or 80 rands.
See, if you're a billionaire... Mm. They have to give you a very high bail so you don't skip the country.
Mm. Oh.
Because now he's got to go to court. He's still got to go through all of that. So, Cope, just hang on. There's plenty of pain coming to him if that's what you're after.
Well, that's a game changer. Sorry if we're derailing a bit. But, like, do they look at your finances and...
Yeah.
So is that why some people get, like, 900 rand bail and you go, but how?
Yes.
Mm. Don't they also take into consideration the severity of the crime?
Yes.
But I always thought, like, really, we speak about bail so highly, but maybe it's just...
No, bail's just a way to keep you from absconding and disappearing without going to court. That's all it is.
But, like, for example, Max Maponyan was only charged 3,000 rands bail.
Or maybe he's run out of cash. You don't know. Or maybe they don't think he's a flight risk.
Wow. Never really knew that.
All right. What else?
Okay. Here's a new job that somebody has just been offered, and she's happily signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
There is a woman in the UK who is about to earn £28,000 a year.
Nice.
To masturbate.
Every
day. Every day.
It's a full-time job.
Okay.
It's a full-time job, which will see her working 2 days from home. Very nice. And 3 days in the office.
Oh, yeah.
They will also be entitled to time off on their birthday. They'll get private health care, discounted gym membership, and an annual staff retreat. This is amazing.
This
is such a good package. Now, I hear you asking the question, why? Why is somebody being paid money to masturbate? Well, she has just been recruited by a UK adult store that is basically looking for a sex toy reviewer. And that is exactly the position that she has signed up for.
Ooh.
Her responsibilities will include testing lingerie.
Oh, I'm glad.
Sex games and toys. And then she'll also be expected to write and video blog, to write reviews and do video reviews of the products. And no, she is not going to be filmed while testing the product, sickos. A spokesperson for the company that's just hired her told the BBC, well, sex toys range from simple to risque, and as a responsible provider of a huge catalogue of sex toys, we feel it necessary to both have and share a good understanding of all products and be able to inform the public about all perks and pitfalls.
Wow.
So it is critical that they have somebody who is constantly testing their toys.
Fantastic. What a job.
What a job.
Yeah. What was this, Marbella? 28,000 or 280,000 pounds?
28,000 pounds a year.
A year. So
yeah,
that is...
you don't have to just do this job.
475,000
pounds. You can do another job as well. This is like a part-time one.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a sit-down 9 to 5.
I mean, two of the days she gets to work from home, so she doesn't even need to clock into the office for 2 days in a week.
Well, I mean, she's not going to be able to do her work at the office, is she?
Yeah. No. Three days she is in the office because she has to write the reviews and she has to do the videos and, you know, that stuff.
And everyone in the world is going to know she's the toy tester, right?
Yes, I suppose once the reviews start going up online, we'll know that, you're the one.
Yeah, so she'll be walking to the shop and someone will go, oh, how's that new big black rubber cock?
Yes, I am looking at a big black rubber cock right this second.
But I'd be down for that. At least you're getting paid for it.
It is such an essential role that you'd think that, like, making an investment in a sex toy, like, who do you ask? What if you're really shy? You don't go, so, you know, what's in your bag or what's next to your bedside? Yeah. It's not exactly an easy thing for a lot of girls or guys to say.
Yeah.
But if there's really good reviews.
What size penis do you have?
Exactly.
Mm-mm. But I'm interested that they'd actually need to fill a role like this when just sitting around the boardroom table at the offices are like, okay, let's just basically all reach consensus that
that's too amateurish.
You a meter someone, long dildo doesn't work for anyone.
You need, as you say, hands on everything nowadays.
Oh yeah.
That's a good job. And you can do other things. You don't have to be testing out these toys and video blogging all day.
Mm-hmm.
You can do other jobs.
Sure.
It's not a bad job. I'm kind of jealous that there's someone who's going to get this job.
You can multitask.
It's decent money as well.
Mm. How much is 28,000 pounds a year?
475,000 rands a year.
Which is like a decent base salary.
That's all right. Yeah. And it's in pounds. You could store it over there if you live in South Africa. You could video blog from here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should apply. If you're a young woman who wants to try this, there we go. Don't say we didn't give you a lead.
Yeah, but see, it would take 3 years to get stuff sent through the post office.
Listen, I got to talk about a news story because I couldn't even believe it was a news story. I was in The Citizen this weekend.
Why?
Ask Sia. This is so funny.
Okay, because I now also, when I saw this story, I felt bad because I was like, oh, Lord, I'm the one who showed you this on Friday.
Yeah, look at this. This is an actual published news story.
Okay.
Read that, Mubs.
Gareth Cliff praises Mutambi's skill in moving a rock in a road a little bit. What?
Is that the little bit, does that refer to the rock or your praise?
Well, she moved the rock a little bit.
Okay.
So have you seen the pictures? Just look, scroll up there, Mubs. Have a look.
Okay.
So those are the pictures I put up on my Facebook and my Instagram.
So you put up a picture of there's four gentlemen and one of them is bending down over a big rock.
No, that's Faith Mutambi.
Is this the space? Oh, Kosiam. Oh, my word. Oh, okay.
Look at the pictures. That's the minister, Faith Mutambi. And can you explain, Mubs, since this is the first time you've seen them, can you explain what you think she's doing?
Okay, so in the first picture, as I said, she's bent down, she's leaning over, and she's just touching the rock with the tips of her fingers. Then in the second picture, she's got both her hands on the rock, and it seems like she's about to lift it.
Yeah.
In the third picture, the rock is still on the ground. It's moved only slightly.
Yeah.
And again, she's leaning over it. And then in the last picture, she's standing up, hands down by her side, because she's moved the rock maybe 5 centimeters.
And the sense of the pride or, accomplished.
So,
what do you think she's doing?
So, here's how the story
is. I just don't understand. Right,
yeah, Sia and I were looking at these pictures.
We laughed for a good 10 minutes just staring at them.
So this is an actual news story because I just put up those pictures and said, you'll see what I said in a minute. So this is The Citizen. And I've got to say, The Citizen are either really, really clever or really dumb. I'm trying to figure it out. The radio host says the public service minister has skills. That's the subtitle. Gareth Cliff uploaded a few photographs onto his Facebook page on Friday, in which he heaped praise on Minister of Public Service Faith Mutambi, who was moving a rock in a dirt road. Although many have critiqued the minister as a hollow but blindly loyal cadre appointment with no ability to manage the departments she has run, often mismanaging her budget spectacularly while appointing friends and family to positions in an irregular way, Cliff was of the view that people have been too hard on her.
Ah, there you go.
He wrote, "Hey, critics of the ANC, here's proof that Minister Faith Mutambi has skills. Amandla." He also added two different raised fist emojis at the end. In the pictures, the minister appears to be doing battle with the biggest rock in a dirt road that has rocks strewn all over it. There's a big black Jeep off to the side, presumably Mutambi's car. She and her entourage seem to be doing their bit to clear a road, perhaps following a protest. In the series of images, Mutambi manages to roll the rock once and then takes a break. Take a look below. Then they put those four pictures that Mabali has just described.
Oh, wow.
And they label them Faith Mutambi versus a rock.
Mm.
Then they carry on, as if this is a real story. I mean, I couldn't believe this was reported news. Cliff's followers had some choice barbs about Mutambi and her work. Darren Mildenhall commented that he was very impressed by the rock itself, but was upset that Mutambi was perhaps disturbing its morning. He said, "That's an awesome pic of her, but why is she being moved out of the road by that woman in the red and white outfit?" Peter Duplessis told Mildenhall he had won the internet today. Oliver Wright observed that Mutambi had moved the rock one whole foot and not towards either side of the road either. Fantastic work. So that was an actual reported story in the news.
I can't.
Exactly.
No, but you know how we're always saying that the news is filled with such bad news stories every day, and every now and again you want a ridiculous story that's just going to make you laugh.
Here's another one. Clearly, even though I was in Nelspruit completely unaware of this, I was all over the news, because then in Times Live over the weekend, 19 August, lol, Gareth Cliff has a crush on Charlize Theron. Like thousands of men across the world, radio jock Gareth Cliff has a crush on Charlize Theron. So when Gareth heard that the South African-born Hollywood star was in Mzansi, he took a wild chance and expressed how much he wanted to work for her. Gareth's crush is so deep, he's willing to work as a servant for free. Then they quote my tweet, which was, "So Charlize Africa is in South Africa. If you see her, tell her I'm ready to work for free as a servant. From tomorrow, I even have a CV."
What great news days.
So then they go, "Gareth, we're hiring. Would you consider working in our homes?"
Oh.
"No, it's obviously not. It's only for Charlize, you idiot." Charlize is currently in Cape Town, where she hooked up with buddies Trevor Noah and Chelsea Handler to surprise pupils at Oaklands High School. The visit was in aid of non-profit organization Life Choices, blah, blah, blah. But that was an actual story, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and troll these guys. I'm going to, or at least to bait them. I'm going to start posting stuff. And the more ridiculous I can make it, the better. And we'll see which makes it into newspapers. Yeah.
I think next you must actually have a massive crush on Batabile. That's probably the next step.
That's a good idea.
The fact that she's always been your type.
Woman idea. Crush Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's do it.
Woman Crush Wednesday. And you say, "I'd love to have drinks with her."
Awesome idea. And then the next thing you know, we'll be puzzling it up at some shebeen somewhere together.
What if she does take you up on the offer?
Right. Can you imagine how nice that would be?
Can you get my teeth out?
Yeah. All right. So there we go. That's how I made the news over the weekend. Yes, us journalists are running out of stories if they write about that from MASH.
But I don't think they are journalists. I just think they're people who are semi-committed writers and bloggers that now run these things.
Mm.
Journalists on the scrap heap.
Michelle
like
says,
a 90s thing.
"Mubs, hell, I'm laughing so much at your rock reaction. That makes the story even better."
It was classic.
"Nice job that lady has in Britain. Lekker skommel all year round. Some of us do it for free." "You can stick your job where the sun don't shine. Read the tester lady." Okay, well, it's not for everybody. "Gareth, that video of the guys on the swing, we must get Faith and Batabile on that." Yeah, I put up a video of these Russians. Russians are mad. There are a bunch of accounts on Instagram you can follow where they just show Russians doing dumb shit. Because you know the Russians are drunk all the time. They have no stop button. So these Russians are on a swing. And the swing goes, back and forward and back and forward, but every time the arc gets bigger, right? Mm. And eventually he starts going right round on the swing.
What?
Mm-mm. And then he jumps off and smashes into a wall.
Mm-mm.
You want to see it?
No.
You got to see it.
I can't.
No, there's no blood. You don't have to worry. Okay. No, there's no blood.
No.
But you know, the other day when I put up that picture of the woman whose ass was on fire, that I got into trouble with people who thought I was promoting gender-based violence. Yes. Mm-hmm. So look here, Mavs. Just have a look.
Okay. So yeah, you have a look.
Is this normal? Is this
just
real?
Watch. Yeah, watch. Just it's very funny. It's really, really funny. It's not.
Look, grown men on a swing. Okay, now he's swinging around. Grown men on a swing, you're just asking for trouble. Oh. Oh, okay, now, okay, he's swinging some more. What an idiot!
Why did he jump off?
So he jumps off and he hits a wall.
Why did he jump off?
It's like a wooden palisade wall, but it's so stupid. Now, to me, that's hysterical. Am I wrong? Am I promoting some kind of violence again?
No, because that's just Russia.
Yeah,
hey, that's what the internet shows you about Russia. Right. They drink vodka, they do stupid stuff.
Right.
There are adults who decided to do this, and look, now you'll have a freaking concussion, dude.
Yeah, if you're looking for me on Instagram, I'm doing interesting stuff on there for a change. I mean, you love it, right? I'm looking at Amanda. She's laughing. She thinks it's funny. She likes so much of my crap on Instagram. So you must like it.
It's so funny.
So if you want to follow it, it's GRCliff, GRCLIFF on Instagram. Some stupid stuff on there.
Can we talk about SeaWorld? This is really pissing me off.
Has another killer whale eaten its trainer?
Well, okay, killer whales, right? Massive, massive, majestic beasts.
Yes.
Beautiful things.
Absolutely.
You know, in the wild, mm-hmm. they can live up to 80 to 100 years.
Oof. Yeah?
You know how long they live up to in SeaWorld?
How long?
Well, females, 29 years, males, 17 years.
Oof,
that is how terrible, inhumane, and just disgusting SeaWorld is. So they make these killer whales jump around for fat Americans who are on their third corn dog, right? And these killer whales, they become so bored and frustrated that they smash their heads against the glass because they've got nothing to do. And
they're trying to commit suicide.
And that's why they become so violent, and then they kill their trainers.
Well.
Oh.
So in the wild, there is very little, next to nothing, or no evidence of them being aggressive towards humans. But an ex-SeaWorld employer has come out, and he said, look, these killer whales, they are being abused. They live a life of agony. They pick up all these strange diseases and illnesses of which they eventually die of because they're so restricted.
God.
And this one dude said that while he was there, he saw three people being killed by killer whales.
Oh my God.
He himself was mauled and abused and mutilated because these killer whales are so angry and frustrated and unhappy, and they live these lives of agony. But yet SeaWorld carries on.
It is pretty terrible. I don't know why. You know, and Michelle, who works in an aquarium, might have some thoughts on this too, but I don't like these animals in captivity. I mean, I can understand the fish, you know, stupid fish swimming around in a tank.
These are giant. 80 to 100 is what they live to in the wild.
Yeah.
29. If you get to 30 in SeaWorld, you're lucky.
It's horrible. And it is funny when they eat their trainers. I find that amusing, too. Just like I find Russians falling off a swing amusing. I do think it's like the killer whale chews on the trainer for about 35 minutes.
Really?
Mm.
They don't just swallow them whole.
No, this killer whale bit this woman's head off. It was this was a couple of years ago. It was fantastic. I mean, how do you end a show better than this? Because she's making it dance at its tail, a whole lot of stupid shit, and then eventually it just goes, enough. I'm not going to be teased with sardines anymore. And it just bites her head off and then chews on her for about 35 minutes. And children are screaming and parents are covering their eyes with their hands. And people are exiting through the emergency exits. But they're all watching because, you know, you're not going to get this kind of show easily.
Sure. Did they kill the whale afterwards?
I don't know. I hope not. Because it was just, it's called killer whale. It's in the name. You know what it is? Right?
So if you go onto YouTube, wow.
You can find it?
There's a lot of stuff here.
Of killer whales eating their trainers.
Yeah, but these poor things, they are literally put into, it's like us being forced into a baby pool and that's our life.
Mm.
I mean, baby pools are cool when it's really hot and you're drunk, but I mean, wow. No wonder these things are fighting back. And it's always nice to see the animals fight back. It's a recurring theme on the show.
We do like that.
By the way, you do realize that's a dolphin, right?
Yeah, I do. I know. Okay, it's okay. Just funny.
No, but the dolphins tell the stories. The killer whales can't.
Yes. The dolphins are the ones we can communicate with. Oh, man. All right. Well, I'm glad you brought that one up, Ben. We always like an animal's revenge story. I just feel like these poor animals, they... You know, imagine how horrible your life is when you're an animal and you're banging your head against the glass wall. Mm. You know, when humans do that, you know they need therapy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see a human... If you go to the office today and you see one of your fellow co-workers and they're smashing their head against the wall, you know things are pretty damn bad for them. You know that for sure. You don't need... You don't need to have their psychological history, you know? Imagine these poor things. Oh, these humans. Now we've got to do tricks for them again.
And all that noise and the lights.
Oh. And that horrible music.
And there's always some woman with like a high-pitched voice. It's like going to a spinning class. It's like you only get the job if your voice can cut glass. And now these killer whales have to listen to that.
And they really do play horrible, horrible music. They have almost like circus music, you know? Yeah,
of course.
You can imagine.
Wildcat Fever!
Hey, Bugger Girls, it's Piper the Dolphin!
Woo! Are you ready, Dolphin? Okay, now we're gonna play some games with the Dolphin. We're gonna make them jump through these burning hoops. And then I'm gonna feed them one sardine each. And they're just gonna love it. They love it. They have so much fun. Come on, Dolphin!
Yeah, horrible.
That sounds right.
What a
that
life. Really, I'd also be banging right. My head against the glass. All right.
Sorry, I do feel bad for them now.
Anything else you want to throw in there, Mubs?
No.
Did you hear that your favorite, David Letterman, is coming back onto TV?
I thought he was going to retire. He's got this farm out near Montana, which is in the middle of nowhere. It's one of the biggest states in America, and it has a population of about 10 people. And Letterman is a hermit. People. He doesn't like people. He's sick of people. He's lived his life in front of the cameras. So he resigns and he goes off to retire in the mountains in Montana. And now they've talked him into coming back, or has he volunteered to come back? What's the story?
We just know right now that Netflix announced last week that they are bringing him back with a 6-episode series that has Letterman doing two of his favorite things, he says, which are in-depth conversations and these in-the-field segments sparked by his curiosity. So they'll be an hour long each, and Letterman will conduct long-form conversation with a single guest and explore topics of his own outside the studio. There's no name for the title just yet, and it's set to premiere back in 2018.
They must have offered him some serious money.
Oh yeah, definitely. Do you know what I love though? He says that he's feeling excited and lucky to be working on this project for Netflix, and he added, if you retire to spend more time with your family, check with your family first.
Okay. So. His family probably said to him, you're a pain in the backside. Get back to work. We preferred it when you weren't around all the time.
But I thought he was really enjoying his retirement. Hey? He was growing the beard.
Yeah, he looked like a homeless man. Listen to this. Anushka says she spent her whole weekend catching up in Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Had to binge through season 6. I finally made it to the season 7, episode 5, and I had to search the internet for the leaked 6th episode. I am not well. I feel ruined. Yeah, it's one hell of an episode. We luckily don't have any mammals, says Michelle, at our aquarium. I also have issues with whales and dolphins and seals in captivity. It's hard because it's my job. I do feel the same as you guys, Michelle. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Mm.
But yeah, my buddy was saying she watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Season 7, episode 6, which is the one that leaked.
Yes.
It was meant to only come out last night
in
America.
Yeah, it did come out last night. Phew.
Well, I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm excited. I know there's going to be white walkings. I got a question. So if the white walkers kill you, you become a white walker.
Yeah.
So what happens if the white walkers kill a dragon? Do they then get a dragon?
I don't know, Ben. You'll have to wait until you finished watching episode 6.
They get a dragon. Ah.
No, Ben, you don't know that for sure.
Because they had one of those giants, right? Because the giants definitely weren't one on their side. And now it's like, giants. Oh, now I'm with these guys.
Yeah. No, episode 6 shows you two animals that...
Is Hodor a White Walker?
He could be, huh?
Wow, this is so exciting tonight.
Maybe Hodor comes back as a White Walker.
That's so cool.
Shame, hold the door.
Do you get white bastards too? Because, I mean, there must
like
be a
John Snow.
There must be a couple of bastards in the Walkers.
I'm sure. But what I don't get is that some of them become these dead guys. Their eyes don't glow blue, and they're not. The you know, there's the Night King and his like companions who are all these men made of ice. Like if you hit them with a dragon glass sword, they shatter.
Yes.
And then they're the dead guys who are obviously just dead humans.
Yes.
So how come some become dead guys and some become White Walkers?
Yeah, that needs to be explained. Because
I'd be pissed off if I were killed by a White Walker and I became just a dead guy.
Just a dead guy. No, I also want to.
Walker.
Yeah, no, I also want to become a White Walker.
That's some sort of ceremony, you know, and you have to go through like 6 months. It's like McGuying or something.
So there's like a process?
Probably.
Also, isn't it that when you kill one White Walker, then all the other dead guys that he converted die with him?
Oh, yeah. See, that's a lot of rules here, huh?
Hey guys, I've been listening to you from Kinshasa in the DRC. Here on business on assignment. This place makes you both appreciate the country that we have, but also fear that we could become something like this if the looting continues. It's a slippery slope to get to this point. Been thinking about that a lot. Thanks for the show. Really helps to have a comedian and a connection. Sorry, a connection. Why I read comedian. A connection to home and to hear the latest news from South Africa. Special hi to Mabali.
Hello.
Oh, very nice.
Hey now.
All right.
The smirk on her face right now. Can you contain yourself?
Someone says, Ben, careful, spoiler alert. Well, Ben, he hasn't seen the episode, so he's just guessing.
I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. I mean, listen, we're not going to do any spoilers, but what Ben was talking about now genuinely came from a place of ignorance. He hasn't watched the show yet.
Could we rather say curiosity?
Ignorance. You're an ignorant man. You're an ignoramus. Okay. All right. In fact, someone has something to say about that, Ben.
What?
About you being ignorant.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me just get the line here. Hello, yes, go ahead.
People used to say I sounded ignorant the minute I opened my mouth. Now it takes a little longer.
Very good.
Okay. All right. We're going to get Brent Lindekew in here next. What?
Where were they calling from? Mars?
Delmas.
Chernobyl.
All right. Brent Lindekew's next. He's on My Kitchen Rules. Very excited to talk to him about this. Yeah, a little French Montana for you with Unforgettable. Nice. CliffCentral.com, a Monday morning, the 21st of August already, and we're joined in the studio by Brent Lindekew, the host of The Good Stuff. Among other things, Brent's a very busy man. He's been all over the world in the last few months. You are living your best life, aren't you?
Every day is a Friday.
Yeah. You really are. You're living your best life. It's incredible. What are you trying to get your headphones working?
Yeah, I just messed up Ben's computer.
No, really, it's okay. You're the guest. I'll.
What's wrong?
Well, this jack's always broken.
I don't even know. I can't even hear myself.
I'm going to assault someone. I swear to God.
Can I give you a?
There's going to be a grievous bodily assault charge against me before the end of today over these headphones.
That's vicious.
You should really use a power cable, Gareth. Apparently it's very effective.
There's enough of them lying around here. I think I could do some serious damage. Maybe I should go for lessons to Grace. Anyway, so let's focus on this whole thing. I get very easily misdirected and tangential. So here's Brent Lindekew, and he was just announced last night. I actually was watching.
Did you watch?
Yes.
I'm well impressed. Yes. Well impressed.
You tipped me off.
Yeah, I mean, I told you that it was going to happen because I'm going to have to take a bit of leave.
Yeah, so Brent Lindekew is a contestant in My Kitchen Rules, which is the brand new reality TV show. It's a cooking show, but it's about these people. It's not about the food.
I think that it's like 20% food, 80% social. It's sort of the dynamic. No, I watched the Australian one, and it sort of gave me a gist of what it is.
Well, but when you told me that you were going to be on it, I watched the Australian one too, for one or two episodes, and I thought it was pretty good. And I normally don't get into these shows.
Yeah.
So I had it on last night, and I saw that they announced you and Andrew that you're going to be on this show together. And we've known Andrew and Brent for a long time, and I had no idea, first of all, that the two of you were so good in the kitchen.
Well, are we? Like, I don't know if we are.
If you're on the show, you can't be crap. If you were totally crap, they wouldn't have selected you.
Yeah.
So you must have some abilities, and you say Andrew's the real cook.
He's the real cook. So Andrew's the master chef in the kitchen. Right. I take the sous chef role. And
you're a servant.
I'm a servant. I'm just there to chop shit. Like,
yeah, right.
That's my job.
Sous chef means servant.
But Andrew and I work really well together in life.
Well, that's why you're together.
You know, we've been together for 9 years, and we own a couple of businesses together. I think a good test in a relationship is if you can like travel together, work together, spend a lot of time together. And Andrew and I can. So when it comes to us being in the kitchen, our game face is on. We're ready to do this.
Yeah, I think you two are going to be very powerful competitors.
We hope so. We hope so. It's a little bit nerve-wracking that we're the second batch of contestants. So I get to sort of watch what's going on TV.
Okay, so hang on, because all of us are going to start watching it now because we know you're on.
All of you better. Every Cliff Central listener needs to support this Cliff Central.
Is there a way, like,
can we maybe start with how the show works?
Yeah, start with that. Let's explain it to Mubs. She never turned on her TV.
Okay, so it's got two components to it. The first is like a round robin dinner phase where we're going to get to cook for the other contestants. Everybody's a pair, mothers, cousins.
So some of them are, some of them friends. Are like married couples. Some of them are friends. Some of them are, they work together.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be.
There's a group at the moment that are book club besties. They're like mets.
What a horrible thing to be
called. Oh,
yes. This is my book club bestie. Shoot them between the eyes.
The way it works is they all come round to your house and you cook for them. You're not allowed to really eat with them. It's not like come down with me. So you're hosting properly. You turn your house into a proper restaurant.
And you have to go and cook. You have to do everything yourself. There's no sleight of hand. There's no cameras behind the scenes.
Everything.
Amanda, who would you take on to My Kitchen Rules if you had to go and do this show?
Sure, I'd probably...
Who would be your partner?
Probably my cousin.
Which one?
Star. Whoa. Yeah, not extra. Yeah, Star.
We'll talk about extra later. Amanda sent me a picture of extra. She's been hunting. No, she hunted.
Oh,
she,
wow.
She actually shot an antelope.
Oh, not like on the streets.
We will talk about this later. We're being distracted.
Need to unpack that as well.
So you got to choose.
And then you cook for these people, and then there's judges that come around as well, two judges. And the judges are Jay something.
Right, from Mikasa.
And David Higgs from Marvel. Which, I mean, I still need to get to meet them when it's our turn
to go. You haven't met them yet?
No. So we're still going to do our cooking the second batch. I'm in the second batch of contestants, so it's the first batch that are busy doing their things at the moment. Five and five. It's nerve-wracking to watch it on TV. I'm scared.
Now, is there a winner out of each batch?
No, there's a loser. Okay. There's one team loses, they get kicked off, and then we all go into like a masterclass kitchen, the eight couples that are left. And that's when shit gets real. That's when, you know.
You get points per meal as well.
Points per meal.
And
they judge you.
All the different couples vote. They give you a score out of 10.
And that's the social aspect.
Yeah.
That you can. I mean, if you watched last night's episode, you would have seen there's some bitchy people.
Some
there.
Mean strategy
going.
Conniving. I'm going to give you. You know, I thought your dessert was crap. I'm going to give you a 4 out of 10.
It's bad.
Yeah. And then what's the prize at the end of this? So
just
18 episodes, right?
18 episodes. Mm-hmm. And the prize on the 10th of December is just $1 million. 1 million rand.
Excuse me?
One million rand.
Okay, now. All right. Game face on. Cool.
This is, I mean...
stakes are high.
People have asked, because we didn't know what the prize was when we went into it, and they were going...
We were just doing it for fun.
It's an adventure, yeah. Sia. I'm a yes man. So, like, more adventure in my life, the better.
Yeah.
And then they went, oh, and there's a possibility that you could win R1 million. And I was like, well, that's a cool adventure.
We are down for that.
That's you a know. Kind of adventure you really want to take part in. I might even want to learn to cook just to get that kind of money in the bank. Okay.
If we just have a hand in, like, giving you guys something, like delivering a tray of...
No, Sia, you're not going to
grapes. Can we get right, this?
So you have to host it in your house.
It's going to be in my house, and we have to create a whole restaurant from scratch.
I mean, this is fairly intimate, because what you're really doing is inviting the whole of South Africa into your house for dinner.
I didn't think of it that way.
They're going to see your house. They're going to see your dogs. They're going to see your life.
It makes it a little bit more nerve-wracking. Yeah. Thanks, G. I'm excited now.
You're opening yourself up to everybody.
And you know what? I don't mind, actually. I don't mind. Andrew and I are pretty good cooks, and we're a fun couple. Mm. We're in it to have fun. I think that's the biggest...
You're good entertainers. I've been to your house once.
You've eaten by our place before.
Did we eat?
We did. You did.
Oh, was it?
I know I drank.
Copious you drank. Amounts of liquor. Yeah.
I don't know if I ate. I haven't eaten since the 90s. It doesn't matter.
We're pretty good cooks, and we're fun. And I think we could add a lot of value to the show.
Absolutely.
And from a competition point of view, I'm ready, man. I'm a competitive person.
All right. So the plan is that you bring these other people into your house. They might be terrible people. You don't know.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
I'm a little, like, after the first group, I'm a little bit concerned.
And then you have to impress them with your cooking.
Impress them with your cooking. You don't really have much time to impress them with your personality if you haven't.
You're always cooking.
You're cooking. So, like, you go out there and you go, starters is served. And that's basically the hosting style. And then they got to like what's on their plate. And after that, they vote. And so hopefully we make it to the next round.
I would imagine, and I don't want you to go into what you're actually going to make, because, first of all, I'm not that interested in food. But I am interested in, you've got to choose stuff that people aren't allergic to, If you bring out some kind of fancy sushi thing and someone doesn't eat fish, you're in trouble.
Like, if you cook lamb brains, it's such a niche thing. I don't think that you'll get many people at the table that will want to
eat it. I would leave your house. I'd get up and leave if you gave me lamb brains.
So it's tricky. You have to try to please the masses. I think what I've realized by watching the show and sort of doing a bit of research is that everybody's opinions on food is so different. Mm. So even around this table, in the studio, if each of us had to eat the same thing, our description, our opinion, and our taste perception is all different. So it's difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get the strategy side. Watching...
It's like Survivor. You have to plot against each other, basically.
It's Survivor. And if you're watching the show, I mean, the first two episodes have been screened now, and you can already see that people have strong strategy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty damn strong. It's R1 million, so I guess that's a huge defining factor.
That's a reason
factor.
To be mean.
That's a reason to be mean. There's two people in the first episodes that have gone... I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to make friends. I'm going to sit across from you for dinner, but I'm not here to make friends. And I am a friendly guy. So I'm the polar opposite. I might be sitting at that table to make friends.
You've got to be yourself.
Authenticity is one of the biggest things that you need to be in your everyday life, whether it's on radio or on TV or just when you're at work. You need to be authentic and you need to be real. And people see right through that if you're not.
Yeah.
Especially on TV.
All right, Ben, if you had to do this, you'd do it with Daniela, huh?
Sure, that would be quite something.
Is she good in the kitchen?
No. Okay. She doesn't want to be. Okay, she believes if I can be, then that's enough.
So then you might have to have someone else to cook with you. Have you thought about who you'd have, Mubs, as your partner if you had to do a show like this?
I have a late cousin who was actually a chef.
Well, they're gone now.
So a couple of my cousins are pretty skilled in that department.
That's a late cousin. You wouldn't be able to use
them. No, well, his sisters.
Oh.
Who often he would cook with. I'd rope in one of them.
All right.
Because he's transferred his skills to them.
Sia Sangweni, who would you put in with you?
I would have to say we've had a helper at home who's been with us for 26 years. She's literally my second mother.
So imagine there's Sia and helper.
No, but she is. No, she had to, at one stage within our family, she'd have to cook something vegetarian for me. She'd have to cook a general dinner for everyone else. She'd have to cook for my grandfather who was doing this entire organic diet, and my uncle who did not eat
ever
chicken.
Such a complicated family.
So God bless her. I would go with her.
But you're also like vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
So you'd be that guest
every night.
Yeah. You'd be that guest in this show. He would be that guest.
And I don't like tomatoes. I don't like nuts. He would be the
annoying guest.
Yeah.
Have you ever been?
He has a glass of water.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a restaurant at Sia?
I actually have. We did the Gold Reef City before Christmas carols, yes. And he was
a nightmare.
I feel sorry for the waiters.
He's a nightmare.
So you won't be inviting me over to your place.
Just my buddy, you know what I'm talking about. If he pitched up at your house for dinner,
no, I'm giving you a bowl of air.
A bowl of air.
That's what you're getting when you come to my house.
Sia also then pimps the waiters off to go find out who that cute guy is in the corner. So it's like, okay, well, can I have this? But hang on a second. Who's that guy over there? Okay, but no tomatoes. But seriously, what's his name?
Ben is spot on.
Anyway, I don't like this conversation anymore. Back to you, Brent.
That's hilarious. He wouldn't. You're not going to be invited to my house. I'll give you a glass of water. Do you drink?
Yes.
Okay, so that's okay.
Make it a mojito with...
Do you have to research? You said you were on the internet looking at what people like and what works and what... I mean, how much research have you done?
Game face on. I'm competitive, so I've watched most of the other shows from around the world to try just to understand how it works from a competition point of view. There's a lot of strategy involved. It's human beings and it's emotion, and you need to understand that. So I've sort of looked into all of that. And then food-wise... again, I mean, we mentioned it briefly, but you need to be quite generic so it can be palatable for everybody.
South Africa.
But you still need to bring it. Still need to bring it. Those meals need to be out there.
It's South Africa. Steak and chips and a salad.
I would eat that.
Sure. It's my favorite meal.
You know, try and make it a little bit more fine dining, but I'd eat that.
No.
It's tough. Gee, I like I said, Andrew is the he's the guy in the kitchen. I'm there for the adventure. And I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty damn nervous for when it comes around to our round robin of cooking.
Exciting. So are you put into like quarantine? You can't talk to anyone?
When we start the actual filming process, then you guys are not going to hear from me for a while.
How long?
It's a long process. It's a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we don't interact with we're not going to be allowed to interact with the other contestants. You only really eat together and do dinner and stuff together. And that's it. I'm going to be in quarantine.
Jeez, you can't talk to anybody.
I think I'm allowed to be on social media. I think during the process, I'll still be Insta-Snapchatting what-whatting. So,
wow. It's a commitment.
It is a commitment, but again, it's R1 million. So add it to the adventure. Yeah, like, when does the show end? 10th of December.
Oh my! So you're basically on show until the 10th of December.
Every Sunday. This is like DSTV's prime show for this year, for like the end of the year. It's nice. Pretty cool to be a part of it. I'm excited to meet the other contestants, and I'm nervous as hell to cook. And to decor up my restaurant, I need to make a restaurant. Like, if anybody's got any tips, you can just tweet me.
Yeah.
Let me know what to do.
And those judges, I mean, Jay Summings very cool. David seems to me to be very serious.
He's very serious. In the first two episodes that I watched, he is super serious. They've got this.
I've got to be honest. I mean, I like David. We've had him in here before, and Marble's such a great restaurant.
Was he nice on air?
When he was here? Yeah, he's great, but I don't know if he's coming across well on TV. I've got to be honest and say that maybe TV's not for him.
It's this awkward thing that happens at the dinner table where you bring the food and you place it down in front of the judges, and then you have to watch them eat.
He's got the stony face, and he's giving away nothing. Maybe that's good. I don't know.
Well, if you watch the Australian one, that's what the judges are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be keeping it all in. Have you watched it, Ben?
I haven't, friend. No, I watch sport and fantasy.
Can you make time for me and watch it
for you? For sure.
You know, I'm gonna send you guys reminders and be like, yo.
Yeah, well, with my belly, you'll have to send her a TV.
Well, yeah, and you have to turn it on for her and pour her a glass of wine
and massage her feet.
You can come to my house and watch. I have wine.
Don't listen to these idiots.
I have wine.
She's such a princess. She wants the whole experience, and you really have to lay it on thick. She's not going to do it for nothing.
I'll I'll cook for you while you watch the show. Like, okay. I need to practice. So, come over on a Sunday.
Mubs, that's like 3D TV.
3D TV.
Yes, it is.
Because you would actually be experiencing the thing in every other sense as well. You'd be smelling, tasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And watching you at the same time.
That's a hell of an offer.
Yeah.
I think you should take it up.
Well, we have threatened to drink for the longest time, you and I.
Yeah, you know,
I've got to warn you both that you underestimate each other.
Yeah.
When we have Cliff Central get-togethers, Mbale and I head for the bar. Even we arrive an hour early just to make sure we can get enough in.
Hey now.
All right.
Well, all we can say is good luck. We're going to be rooting for you.
Thank you.
I hope that it goes very, very well. I hope you and Andrew win. I'm also competitive, even by proxy.
We've spoken about this before. You're like, second is no place whatsoever in your existence.
If you come second, I am going to take you off your show.
You're
going to
fire me.
What? Sure, you didn't see that in the fine print.
The stakes are high. So if you don't win the million and you don't come out as big,
I lose the show as well. What?
I'm going to hand the show to Kerry.
Is Kerry here? What? No. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, she's already here. Yeah. I've prepared.
She's ready.
This is my...
I feel like I've just walked into the Renegade Report. What the F? This is just insane.
Even Hillary thinks it's funny. I am going to take away your show if you don't win. There we go. That's the real cliffhanger at the end of this episode is going to be me walking in and going, oh, Brent, oh, you didn't come first. Oh, sorry.
I need to leave the studio immediately and go cook. Like, I need to go practice.
Go and win, dude.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's exciting.
Yeah, we're all excited for you. And watch My Kitchen Rules, which is on Mnet right now on a Sunday night. It is a show that will show you what kind of people we have in our society. Some of them are nice and some of them are shitty. Brent and Andrew are nice.
Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't like them can come and fight with us. My buddy's sharpening her claws as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Take them down. All right, very, very good. That's what's coming up on television, what's coming up with us in the next little bit. Shekhan is coming in.
Where is she?
There she is. She's sitting on the sofa. Are you sleeping?
No.
I thought she was lying down for a second there. She
she's not
like,
pulling a
She looked
a
like she was lying down. Because the last person to sleep on those sofas was Skolpat.
Yeah.
She had a proper sleep. Do you remember?
Yes, we do.
Took her shoes off and lay down there and had a proper half-hour sleep. We were worried she wouldn't wake up.
With a blankie.
All right. Okay, we've got to get on with that in the next couple of minutes. Shekhana, she's coming in to join us. Brent Linda Q, thank you very, very much. And it's Monday. Not a bad Monday, actually. What is it, Sia? What do you need?
We're going to the news now.
Oh, thank you for the reminder. Oh,
thank you very much. Reminder. This is why I'm here. But in the meantime...
See, as the executive producer of the show, he has to keep me on track. Because I did it at 9, and then I did it at 8.
Yeah.
We do it diligently from now on at 8.
All right, here it is. This is what you need to know. Have you sent it to me yet, Ben?
I haven't, Gareth, no. Jeez.
Okay, well, in the meantime, while you guys get that ready...
Kill that up.
It is a Monday morning, and so this is what is coming up on cliffcentral.com today. At 9 a.m., it's Rami and Romeo with Belighted. 10 a.m., we have the Auto Central team coming in. 11 a.m., the Threaded Exchange with Siabeyile. 12 p.m., we have Leadership Platform. 2 p.m., Youth Leadership Platform. 3 p.m., it's a replay of the Gareth Cliff Show. 6 p.m., the Maid Sessions. And from 7 p.m. onwards, it's the best of Cliff Central.
All right. Very cool. Shekhan is coming up next. Very exciting stuff. Are you ready?
This is CliffCentral.com.